You're listening to Autumn on the Air, the weekly podcast that brings you conversations about the impact of research commercialization and the people who make it happen. Join us for interviews with patent and licensing professionals, innovators, entrepreneurs, and tech transfer leaders on the issues and trends that matter most. Keep listening for an inside track on the people, IP policies, and politics changing our world.
In the industry of technology transfer, diverse perspectives from around the world help us to understand how things work in other countries, but also provide us with fresh ideas to explore in our own organizations. Today, I'm joined by Jose Ricardo Aguilar, a key member of Instituto Pedro Nunes's, also known as IPN, Knowledge and Valorization Department, dedicated to advancing applied research, fostering entrepreneurship, and incubating tech-based startups in Coimbra, Portugal. Since 2002, Jose has been instrumental in promoting the utilization of the IP system within IPN's innovation ecosystem, providing crucial support to researchers and entrepreneurs in understanding IP fundamentals and facilitating technology transfer. Additionally, Jose has served as an invited lecturer at Universidad de Coimbra School of Pharmacy since 2011, where he has imparted his expertise in IP to graduate and master students. He is also actively involved in various advisory committees, including the EPO Standing Advisory Committee on Patent Information and Documentation since 2008, the EU IPO Observatory SME Expert Group, and the IRTO Legal Experts Working Group, both since 2019. Jose's responsibilities also extend to providing legal support to ESA Space Solutions Portugal, hosted by IPN, and contributing as a researcher at the SPARC, known as the Space Law Research Center at the Universidade Nova de Lisboa. Welcome, Jose. I'm so excited to have you here on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon. It's a great pleasure to be here and to be part of this podcast.
Well, thank you. And I'm really excited to have you on the podcast here in beautiful San Diego. And, you know, Jose, I thought I would start off by asking you about the landscape for tech transfer in Portugal. So tell us a little bit, how does the landscape there for tech transfer and IP in the country compare to other European countries or regions?
Well, to be brief, I would say that we are still catching up with, let's say, with the most developed countries in Europe. In fact, for a long time, and due to historical reasons, Portugal was a bit of a closed country to partnerships and to the development of technology, especially with regard to partnerships and to, let's say, connections with other countries. At one time, things changed for sure, and nowadays, not only the tech transfer activity, but also the IP culture, both were mostly developed in a sense that nowadays things are much more in a very more developed space. And the use of the system of IP is really widespread all around the country.
Wow, that's really great to hear. So I'm curious then, what are some of the unique challenges or opportunities that arise when facilitating tech transfer within the Portuguese innovation ecosystem?
Well, we are now on a historical position where companies are more and more concerned about international market, about exports, about international activity on one hand. On the other hand, we are looking and we are witnessing an intense cross-collaboration between industry and science sector, translated into plenty of interactions and joint projects. So in that sense, and my institution is positioned in a place where we can observe this happening almost every day. And nowadays, all this trend is getting into a more developed activity. On top of that, and the use of the IP system brought together another great effort for the protection of the results of those interactions.
Now, given all this kind of collaboration that's going on and interest in foreign investment and things like that, are there any initiatives or policies that Portugal has implemented to encourage collaboration between academia, industry, and startups?
Yes. Most recently, we saw, a focus on the Portuguese government on the support to a group of entities which are deemed to be, let's say, the key entities for the R&D and for the promotion of tech transfer activities and translation of R&D results to the market. And in that sense, special funding was attributed to a group, a selected group of entities. And these entities nowadays are qualified and are identified in Portugal as the, let's say, the key institutions with regard to the, let's say, to the promotion of this kind of interactions. On the other hand, the development of a widespread network of business incubators all around the country also contributed to the, let's say, to the surge and to the development of a large number of successful startups, plenty of them with international activity as well.
So it sounds like there's a really growing ecosystem there in Portugal.
Yes, indeed. Even though we are a small country, we have some areas in the continent and now slowly in the islands as well, for the promotion of different innovation ecosystems or regional ecosystems for innovation. And for instance, Coimbra, my town, is one of the most developed and most known ecosystems, small ecosystem, but combining together the traditional forces of innovation all together. So university, startups, labs, also more mature companies, SMEs, and even big companies, all together, for the development of an ecosystem.
Wow, that's interesting. So, from your perspective, what do you think are some of the key factors that have been contributing to Portugal's success in fostering this type of innovation and entrepreneurship? Do you think it's IP or do you think it's a bunch of different things?
Well, one can say that it's a combination of different factors. One of them can be the situation that for a long time we were out of this game. And in fact, plenty of actors, of players that are in this field of innovation, they benefited a lot from this kind of interactions and learning with most developed experiences, not only in Europe, but also here at the US. And for sure, this conference, Autumn, is one great example of an event where we can learn a lot about these processes with much more developed entities and realities. And in fact, departing from, a very low position, brought together the chance to begin in a good fashion, in a good way, let's say, avoiding some mistakes from other entities and from other countries. So in that sense, we could overtake some obstacles and go directly to a more developed stance in this area.
So I want to switch gears a little bit and ask you about IPN. And can you tell me how IPN specifically contributes to the advancement of tech transfer and IP in Portugal? And tell us a little bit about what sets it apart from other institutions.
Okay, Instituto Pedro Nunes is a private nonprofit association that was created by the University of Coimbra, which is one of the 10 oldest universities in Europe, founded in the 13th century. We are an entity known by essentially by two big areas. One of them is applied research on our dedicated labs. So we only do applied research in partnerships with companies. So let's say trying to tackle questions and demands from companies with regard to R&D. And on the other hand, we are mostly known by our business incubator. So we are one of the most successful business incubators in the whole country. And for a long time, we've been the host of a group of very successful projects, all of them tech-based, not traditional economy projects, but always projects with a high intensity of technology in that sense. And since 2002, we were quite fortunate to be part of one big project that was launched by the Portuguese Patent and Trademark Office for, let's say, the dissemination and the raising of awareness on the IP topic. So since then, myself, together with some colleagues, but essentially myself, so I was focused on the promotion of the IP topic near our public. So not only our researchers, also the University of Coimbra, which is, let's say, the alma mater of our institution and the creator and the founder of Instituto Pedro Nunes, in fact, and also with our entrepreneurs, with all the people that are gravitating around our incubator and are launching new businesses. So we can say that nowadays we are, IPN is one of the key actors in this field in Portugal, and that for a long time.
So you mentioned a little bit about, you know, the Portuguese Patent Office. What about other agencies there and other regulatory bodies in Portugal? How have they shaped the landscape for tech transfer in the country?
Okay. So on one hand, as I mentioned, the Portuguese Patent and Trademark Office had that key project. So in the early 2002 until 2007, 2008, which was a key project, that one, because it was, let's say, a project that allowed the widespread of the culture of IP throughout the country, the whole territory, because our patent office is headquartered in Lisbon, and for sure without any kind of delegations elsewhere in the country. So this project was used to, let's say, to spread this word of the IP all around the country, in the continent and the islands as well, in the later stage of the project. And that was a key effect, IP-wise, for, let's say, the promotion of this trend of knowledge valorization as a, let's say, as a wide topic. On the other hand, the Portuguese Innovation Agency for a long time had this trend of, let's say, supporting and launching some initiatives for, let's say, for the promotion of tech transfer. As I mentioned some minutes ago, nowadays there are a group of entities which are qualified as the key entities in Portugal for, let's say, the promotion of tech transfer and the promotion of innovation, and for sure IPN is one of these entities, together with a group of, let's say, 20, 25 entities all around the country. Also some associated labs that were created specifically to tackle some necessities and some points which are deemed to be, let's say, relevant for the promotion of different sectors in the country. Third and last, a reference for sure about the funding of innovation and the promotion of R&D partnerships. That's part of the effort not only the national effort for the Portuguese government, but also the European Union effort for the funding of R&D, which is, let's say, the definite catalyst for projects with regard to innovation. So without that money, let's say, without that grant, innovation would be in a very, very low pace in Europe.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Everyone knows that. So I would stress that as a last point, let's say, of the key factor for the promotion of innovation and entrepreneurship as well. So indirectly entrepreneurship, but directly innovation with regard to the European context.
Now, you mentioned just briefly before in passing about collaborations, and I'm curious, what collaborations and or partnerships has IPN established with international counterparts to help enhance tech transfer opportunities for Portuguese innovators?
When we present IPN in events, so when we use the classic PowerPoint slides, one of them is a circle slide with the number of our networks, let's say, with an identification of the different networks. And so actually we have two circles. So it's a closer circle of the national partnerships and a larger one with international partnerships. So we are a networking entity, let's say, by education and by birth, let's say. We are always interacting with other entities, with the external environment, not only to let's say, to engage in different projects, in different activities, but also, let's say, to project ourselves as an actor of innovation, departing from Portugal, but for sure widely known in the European level and even at an international level. So outside the EU area, with plenty of interactions with Brazil, with Africa, also with some Middle East countries nowadays. So we are, let's say, constantly interacting, and that's one of the key factors of success of our entity.
Yeah, it definitely seems like that's been a big driver of success there. I want to switch gears again and ask you, I know you're a member of the EPO's Standing Advisory Committee on Patent Information and Documentation. Are there some key initiatives or priorities that you're currently focused on that are going to help improve patent information accessibility and usability that you can share?
Yeah, that is an advisory board for the president of the European Patent Office that aggregates contributions not only from industry, but also from institutions mostly linked with the science area. So it's a body of around 20 people nominated for mandates of 3 years. And our role is to discuss the policy, let's say, and the actions, the strategy of communication of the EPO with regard to patent information and documentation. So let's say to enhance all their procedures in order to outreach better the publics and the users of the system, not only in Europe, but as you know, the EPO is the key actor for patenting in Europe. So
yeah,
it's widely used by US applicants and also Chinese applicants, Japan, Korea. So it's not, let's say, one would not say that that work is totally focused on the European, needs, but on a global assessment of needs for patent information and documentation. So in fact, the idea there is for us, to provide inputs from the terrain, from the practitioner area, in order to, to help them to enhance their goals with regard to documentation and information on patents.
I'm curious, you're part of this EPO advisory group. Is your background in IP? How did you get so involved in IP? Was it just part of your career journey that you developed such a strong interest in IP?
Yeah, my interest on the IP area came with my, with an invitation to be part of that project that was launched by the Patent Office. So this was a decentralized project for patents and trademarks and designs dissemination in the country. So the Patent Office in that time, they funded this project heavily with regard to this 20-something entities all around the country. So IPN was one of the key promoters founders of that.
Interesting.
So I was invited to join that project as junior, as the junior technician of that project. And from that time on, I got the interest on the topic, and I never left it. So I am still connected with the topic 20 years after the beginning of my work with regard to IP.
Oh, and I'm sure you have a tremendous working knowledge, having been involved with that for quite some time now. So, Jose, can you tell us how your role as the head of legal support for ESA Space Solutions Portugal intersects with your work at IPN, and what unique challenges or opportunities arise in supporting space-related tech transfer initiatives?
So this European Space Agency partnership is nowadays one of the most active and most demanding projects that we run at IPN. So we have the triple crown of projects of collaboration areas with the European Space Agency. So we are a business innovation center. So we promote and we support the launch of new space businesses, especially startups. We are also ambassadors of the different programs of ESA partnerships. And we are technology brokers for ESA, so we try to, to foster, the use of ESA technologies by different, namely companies and other entities that are willing, to enter into a tech transfer program with ESA. So we have the triple crown partnerships with ESA in place for a long time now. And with that, so my role there is to be the contract officer and to be part of the evaluation board. So normally when we have normally three cutoff dates throughout the year for people to apply for funding for the launch of new ventures on space projects. And so my role is to assess not only some legal issues regarding those applications, but essentially to look at the IP side, to see if everything related with IP is covered. And on top of that, to assess one very important thing, which is the freedom of operation of the promoters of that project. Because part of them, they arise from the university, so they are researchers, and we are increasingly, let's say, concerned about, let's say, their relationship with their mother house, with their, let's say, with their birthplace, with the entities where they are coming from, and let's say to be assured that we are delivering public money, which is the case, so public incentive to a project which is recognized by the university, where sometimes those projects have effectively departed from.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure the freedom to operate gets very complicated for you, given all that's going on there in Portugal.
Yeah, in fact, as part of these projects are coming from universities, from public-funded entities, so this is increasingly a topic. And for sure, even here, this year at the Autumn meeting, and some of the talks already addressed briefly this topic about spin-offs and those companies that we can qualify as spin-off companies. And part of them, they are related with this space area. Therefore, they are applying for funds on this specific measure of ESABIC. So I am part of that team that assess these topics, and for sure, as with the other cases, I provide some direct support, some mentoring with IP strategy for those companies when they enroll in the program and they are already on the run, benefiting from this incentive for normally a period of 2 years.
So, Jose, I wanted to ask you, as the podcast comes to a close, what would you say are some of the common misconceptions you've encountered about IP rights among researchers and entrepreneurs in Portugal? And how do you address them in your outreach and education efforts?
That's a very important question. In fact, what do we feel in Portugal is that the topic of IP is not, let's say, is not taught to students in general. And this is something that happens even in other countries. So we are quite familiar with that. So we try to fight that by, let's say, providing talks, not only one-to-one talks, but in my specific case, being an invited lecturer for a long time in the School of Pharmacy of the University of Coimbra, for now for more than 10 years. So delivering, let's say, a more intense program on IP to pharma students, which are, I think, a good, let's say, a good group of practitioners, of future practitioners.
Oh, definitely.
Given the total, let's say, connection of IP with the pharma industry and with the pharma sector. But if I could point out a misconception, a real misconception or a big mistake, is that the lack of knowledge of the patent rules, of the generic patent rules, especially in Europe, and I am pretty aware that the regime here in the US is quite different.
Yes,
but
very.
The novelty issue in Europe is critical. And therefore, there are plenty of researchers that are still not aware of that rule. So they always privilege their publications in prejudice of the chance of patenting something. And in that sense, sometimes they lack the opportunity to patent only because they do not, they are not aware of this. So this is the golden rule that I always, when I deliver some talks on IP, I always start by, most of the times I start by addressing this point, this specific point. So showing them that you need to know this rule because you need to take decisions. Of course, no one wants to block your publications, but only for you to think some minutes about, let's say, what can be the priority in your strategy. And maybe you can use, let's say, you can use that specific case of filing the patent and publishing after. I would not resist to tell you a story about this, which is, and it has totally everything to do with this, is that some years ago, there was a major change on the IP law in Portugal. So, as you know, we are much more of the European tradition for laws, for codes, and for, let's say, for codification of laws, not so totally different from the common law area that you know here in the US and the UK. And there was a major change on the law. And there was an inquiry to the universities in Portugal. The patent office asked the universities What can be done with regard to the law in order to enhance the number of patent applications filed by universities? And in that time, the TTOs, they made, let's say, a joint proposal, a very audacious proposal, I would say, in that time, which was just this: please bring to the Portuguese law the provisional patent application that they have in the US.
We have here, yeah.
And that proposal was accepted. And I think so far we are still the only country in Europe which has a provisional patent application in the law.
Yeah, that would be my understanding as well, actually.
Yeah. And on top of that, the design of the specific rule for the provisional allows the applicant to file a simple text, let's say, a summary of the invention, even in English, so that, let's say, the basis, the draft for a publication could be used to be, let's say, the basis of the provisional patent application. So that's the only way for you to submit any document without being in Portuguese language is the provisional patent application.
Wow, they did make it really easy for university inventors. Very easy.
Yeah, definitely. So that brought together the chance for plenty of cases to be saved, let's say, from publication, therefore death of the chance of patenting.
Yeah. Very neat.
Yeah. So I think this is a very nice story about, once again, the efforts that the government can do in order to enhance, in this case, the use of the IP system. This was a story that was, let's say, from 2008, as far as I remember. So a long time ago.
Wow, that's a great story. And thank you very much for sharing that with us. And so, Jose, it's been great having you on the podcast today to learn more about tech transfer in Portugal and the IP system. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a real pleasure having you here.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure. And once again, a privilege to be part of this wonderful event, the Autumn meeting. Thank you.
And that wraps up another insightful episode of Autumn on the Air. A big thank you to our guest, Jose, for sharing his valuable insights into tech transfer and intellectual property in Portugal. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe for more engaging discussions.
Thanks for listening to Autumn on the Air with Lisa Mueller. Get social with us and share your thoughts. You can tweet us at AUTM or visit us online at AUTM.net. We'll be back next week on the air. Be sure to join us.